welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you? We're going to talk again about patients with diabetes. Again, restricting our discussion primarily to those who have type 2 diabetes and are taking medications. We know that optimal glycemic control is not always achieved with people with type 2 diabetes. Hypoglycemia and weight gain can be associated with many of the anti-diabetic medications, and they can interfere with the implementation of long-term application of what we might call intensive therapies. Current treatments have centered on increasing insulin availability, either through direct acting insulin administration or through agents that promote insulin secretion. They also, improve sensitivity to insulin, delay the delivery and absorption of carbohydrates from the GI tract, or increase urinary glucose excretion. The GLP-1 based therapies affect glucose control through several mechanisms, including the enhancement of glucose-dependent insulin secretion and slowing gastric emptying and reduction of postprandial glucagon and food intake. These agents do not usually cause hypoglycemia. They are really rather well tolerated. But so let's say, for example, we have a patient who's on a GLP-1 receptor and agonist, and we want to add a second agent, or we need to add a second agent. Do we use a sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitor, or do we go back to using a sulfonylurea, something that many of our listeners have spent years using? You found a poem that addresses this exact question. It was published in Circulation in 2021. Again, the question is, for patients with type 2 diabetes who are taking a glucagon-like peptide receptor agonist, is a sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitor or sulfonylurea preferred as an additional drug? Mark, which do we choose?
Yeah, so just an easy way to remember these, the SGLT2s end in flozin, like dapagliflozin and empagliflozin, and the GLP-1s end in tide, like exenatide, and that group of drugs. So the flozins and the tide. So we don't have any randomized trials on what is the best second drug to add in a patient who's already taken a GLP-1 receptor agonist, who's already taking a tide. Do you add a flozin or a sulfonylurea? So they used insurance registries to find adults with type 2 diabetes who were taking a GLP-1 agonist and who weren't taking either of the other drugs. They excluded folks with cancer and end-stage renal disease and other kinds of diabetes. After they initially found over 32,000 patients who added an SGLT2 inhibitor, and they also found 27,000 who added a sulfonylurea. They then used propensity score matching using 95 different covariates to create over 12,000 matched pairs, where one patient, they looked really alike, except one got an SGLT2 inhibitor, a flozin, the other one got a sulfonylurea. They were followed for about 10 months. The primary outcome was a composite of stroke, MI, or all-cause mortality. And that outcome was less in those given an SGLT2 inhibitor, about 10 versus 13 events per 1,000 person years. The NNT to prevent one event per year was over 300, about 320. They also found heart failure hospitalizations were less common in the group given the flozin, the SGLT2 inhibitor, 13 versus 21 for an NNT of 128. And that's kind of expected because we know those drugs do seem to have some benefit in patients with heart failure. The reduction in the composite outcome was driven mainly by reductions in MI and all-cause mortality, but didn't really have much impact on stroke. So the bottom line, this propensity score matched analysis, which actually wasn't funded by industry, concluded that the flozins are preferred over sulfonylureas for patients who are already taking a GLP-1 agonist, mainly because of favorable effects based on MI, all-cause mortality, and hospitalization for heart failure.
Great. I think that makes it very easy for us to comprehend. You know, perhaps the only negative is that I think the sulfonylurea is still for people that are paying for other drugs are much cheaper than the Flozins, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the Flozin's going to cost, you know, the drug costs are in the hundreds per month, so thousands per year. And if you take those thousands and multiply by an NNT of 300, you're spending a lot of money to prevent that one event. And so I do think that looking at the cost is also important. Trying to get these drug costs down is important. I know that there are some proposals to tie our drug prices in the U.S. to those in other countries, which would be, I think, a really good idea. Because we spend so much more than other countries, and that would help make these at least a little bit more
cost-effective. So thanks, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.